10.7. Open Container Law. Also, a person commits an offense if they possess an open container in the passenger area of a motor vehicle that contains any amount of alcoholic beverage. Other drugs, both legal and illegal, can affect the task of driving. Please watch this video on identifying impaired drivers and take the short video quiz. Avoid driving while impaired. Often people ask, how many drinks does it take to reach the presumptive limit? One drink is too much if you're driving. What if I go to a party? Can I ever have a drink? The answer is yes, you can have a drink. If you are an adult over 21 years of age, you have a right to have a drink, or even two or three. You just have to do it responsibly. There are many alternatives to driving that you can consider, including taking a cab or sharing a ride with a designated driver. 10.7.1. Have a plan. If you know you're going to be drinking, plan ahead. If you're going to a party or a bar with a group of friends, designate a driver. This person must abstain from drinking so that everyone else has a safe way of getting home. Carry extra money so you can pay for a cab ride home. Call a family member or friend and have them pick you up. There are also plenty of organizations set up to provide you with a designated driver when you don't have any other way of getting home. Contact your local police department to find out about these groups. Make sure you have their phone numbers handy before you go out. If you're drinking at a friend's house, ask if you can sleep over. Any responsible friend would not hesitate to help you avoid driving while impaired. The bottom line is, don't drink and drive. Don't accept a ride from someone else who's been drinking. The more you plan ahead, the more you'll be ready for any situation where you find yourself unable to drive. 10.7.2. Designated Driver Program. The Designated Driver Program is an anti-DWI effort that works. It has been saluted by its proponents as a program that takes a positive approach to averting the potential disaster of the drinking driver. The goal of the program is to encourage one individual to abstain from consuming alcoholic beverages for an outing so that they can be responsible for transporting the other members of the group safely. Many licensed eating and drinking establishments participate in the program by providing complimentary non-alcoholic beverages or other incentives. To participate as a designated driver, an individual must possess a valid driver's license, must be part of a group of two or more persons, must verbally identify themselves as the designated driver to the server, must abstain from consuming alcoholic beverages for the duration of the outing, must not be an otherwise impaired driver, must understand that management reserves the right to refuse service to anyone at any time. 10.7.3. Our responsibility as a host. If you're the host of a party, it's your responsibility to ensure that anyone who's been drinking doesn't drive. Here are some suggestions on how to keep people from leaving your party too impaired to drive. First, take their keys at the door as they arrive to the party. Under no circumstances, give the keys back if the person has been drinking. The host of a party should do everything possible to make sure the guests drink responsibly, but the ultimate responsibility is with the person drinking. Before you take that first drink or you take some other drug, look ahead at the consequences. Will you have an alternate means of getting home at the end of the evening? Do you have ways to avoid driving while impaired? Most importantly, do you have a good sense of your own limits, your own self-control? Once alcohol or some other substance hits your system, you may get a false sense of security about your abilities. You may lose your good judgment, that same judgment that tells you when you've had enough. You know the kind of people who are missing that good judgment, the ones who say, "Really, I'm okay to drive, just help get me to the car." It's not worth it to drink and drive. You could hit a child on a tricycle or a pedestrian on the road. Almost 40% of all fatalities are caused by drinking and driving or doing other drugs and driving. The good news is there has been a slight and gradual decline in the number of DWI deaths over the last several years. People are finally wising up. They're designating drivers instead of thinking they can make it home impaired. They're staying at home to indulge instead of taking a chance on driving. The next time you're out on the town, think about it. 10.7.4. The facts. 32% of fatal crashes involved alcohol in 2009. The 10,839 fatalities in alcohol-related crashes during 2009 represent an average of one alcohol-related fatality every 48 minutes. 66% of fatal crashes occurring between midnight and 3 a.m. are alcohol-related. The rate of alcohol involvement in fatal crashes is more than four times as high at night as during the day, 37% versus 9%. In 2009, the highest percentage of drivers with a BAC level of 0.08 or higher was for drivers ages 21 to 24, 35%. 16% of all drivers involved in fatal crashes during the week are alcohol impaired, compared to 31% on weekends. Source: NHTSA Traffic Safety Facts 2009. Remember, prescription and many non-prescription drugs such as cough, cold, and allergy medicines can impair your driving ability and may be illegal to use while driving. Nothing but time, not food or cold showers or coffee, can reduce the effects of alcohol or sober up an impaired driver. Alcohol interacts with other drugs in a synergistic way, making the effects of both more powerful and deadly. Don't drink and drive. 10.7.5. Illegal drugs. After alcohol, marijuana is the drug found most often in the blood of drivers in traffic collisions. Some immediate physical effects of marijuana include a faster heartbeat and pulse rate, bloodshot eyes, and a dry mouth and throat. Studies of marijuana's mental effects show that the drug can impair or reduce short-term memory, alter sense of time, and reduce ability to do things which require concentration, swift reactions, and coordination, such as driving a car or operating machinery. Considering all these facts, and you tell me, why in the world would you ever want to drive high? 10.7.5.1. Cocaine. The use of cocaine can produce euphoria and pleasurable feelings, stimulation, excitement, restlessness, agitation, hyperactivity, and self-confidence, which could yield to risk-taking and increase your chances of getting into a collision. Dilated pupils could produce blurred vision, sensitivity to light, and difficulty in focusing. All these factors combined make cocaine a dangerous drug to use when driving. 10.7.5.2. Medication. Over-the-counter and prescription drugs can affect the way you drive. They are required by law to indicate on the label their suggested use, as well as recommendations for operating machinery. These drugs can cause drowsiness, which may impair a driver's reaction ability. Before taking these medications and driving, always read the label. If the medicine states not to operate machinery, then you should avoid driving. If you're old enough to drive a motor vehicle, it's assumed that you're mature enough to make rational decisions. But when it comes to alcohol, rational thought seems to go right out the window, especially when you're in a group where everybody else is drinking. The temptation is strong to go along with the crowd. Well, you can. You just don't have to get drunk in the process. Just follow a few common sense rules. Now it's time for your ninth quiz. Click the button below to start. Thanks and good luck!